This lesson was brought to you by Larry Acuff.
If I thought about the preacher and the song leader, they didn't get along too well. And it seemed like every time the preacher would select something to preach, the song leader would just kind of kill it with his singing. For example, he preached one Sunday on drinking liquor and all that Sunday. He said, every bit of it ought to be thrown in the river. Song leader got up and sang his next song, Shall We Gather at the River. Well, he thought the next Sunday he was going to outdo him, and he preached on gossip. And the song leader got up and sang the song, I Love to Tell the Story. Well, he got fed up with that. He just got up the next Sunday, and he said, well, the Lord has called me to preach to another church. And the song leader got up and said, oh, why not tonight? And so, I appreciate these good song leaders. I appreciate what they do, and thank you much. It's great to be with you. Enjoying being, as I always have, with the Trousdale congregation. I appreciate those of you who are here to encourage the preaching of the gospel, and it's our prayer and our desire that we will take the Word of God and plant it into the hearts of individuals and motivate them to do the will of God. In the Bible, the Scriptures tell us, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the Bible says that the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that in the last days perilous times shall come. When you look at these passages of Scripture, you and I see what is going on in our world and our society this evening. Certainly you and I know that men need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to take this message, and that we need to encourage individuals to do the will of God. And certainly I know that that's what you are doing. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter number 16, and we're asking the question tonight, who cares if I go to hell? Now just think about that a second. Is there anyone who would care if you went to hell? In Luke 16:19-31, the Bible says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus that laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said unto him, Son, rememberest thou that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, and likewise the Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come from thence that would come to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would ascend into my Father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. Abraham said, that's not possible. I'm paraphrasing here. He said, not so. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one win them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. When you and I look at Luke 16:19-31, there is a subject there that many individuals would just as soon not hear. The Bible says that there were 2 men, the rich man and Lazarus. Both of these men died. When you and I look at this passage of Scripture, there are so many things here that will help us come to a better conclusion in making a decision in our life. You and I need to recognize the Bible says that there was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar that laid at his gate. Now the indication here is that he was not even able to get there on his own. The Bible says that there was a beggar that was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now when you and I look at this, we see that here are 2 men and they are living. 2 men in life. And the Bible tells us, as you look at it, from a worldly point of view, we see the rich man, and here he is up here. And then we see the poor man, we see Lazarus, and he is down here. Now, if you just look, we got one hand up here and another here. Here is the rich man. He is on top of the world. Everything is going his way. He's clothed in purple and fine linen. I do not have time tonight to go into great detail. But when you and I look at that statement, purple and fine linen. Purple, I mean, it was just not a commodity that was easily gotten. Purple, it would come from a small fish. I mean, many, you'd have to get a lot of them just to get one drop out of it. So when the Bible says this man was clothed in purple and fine linen, he fared sumptuously every day, and you and I can see the condition of these two men. Now watch what the Bible says. The Bible says a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, and the Bible said there was Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores. The Bible says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. Now I want us to come back down here a second. Death equalizes it. You and I have the idea, my friend, that, well, I may have this education, I may have this money, I may be in this position, I may be in another position, but I'm saying to you and I tonight, the Bible says that both men died, they're equalized. You've heard this statement before, that you do not see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. And so this man couldn't take these things with him. The Bible says that these men died. They're on an equal plane. Now watch this. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You and I can see the difference. So when you and I look at Luke 16, 19 through 31, if we can help men to understand, and you know what is quite interesting? I read a statistic the other day that said this, that 95% of the American people, if you question them, they believe they're going to heaven. 95%! I'm going to heaven. In other words, it doesn't make any difference what I do. It matters not how I live. I believe in the Bible. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I just do not believe I'm going to be lost in hell. And so you and I, we just don't want to preach on it much. Folks say, well, I don't want to hear about some fire and brimstone, and I don't want to hear about a place, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I do not want to hear a place where the Bible talks about being outer darkness. I don't want to hear about a place where the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I do not want to hear a place where a man says, if I can have one drop of water on my tongue to cool it, I would be satisfied. I'd just soon not hear a lesson like that. There's one preacher on television. He said, I'm never going to preach on hellfire and brimstone. All I'm going to preach on are those things that make individuals feel good. My friend, listen to this. You and I can preach on things and folks can feel good, but they also may die and go to hell, and they will not feel good then, and neither will I. That we have a call from God. The Bible teaches us to challenge man every day in his life that he may live a righteous life and that he may avoid that place that we call hell. But I'm asking the question, does anybody care if I go to hell? Is there anyone concerned? I'm suggesting to you today that the world is not concerned about the fact that you and I could be lost and go to hell. The world is not interesting. You know, you and I, when you and I look at the world and the Bible, you remember Jesus made this statement. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. What was it in the days of Noah? As it was in the days of Noah, what were they doing? Oh, as it was, all of this, you know, sin that was out there? Yes. Every imagination of the thought of their heart was only evil continually? Yes. When you look at the days of Noah and, you know, can we find folks besides Noah and his wife and his sons and their wife? When you look at all of this and all of those people who were slain by God because of their disobedience, as you and I look at the world and we see what the world was like in the days of Noah, every imagination of the thought of their heart was only evil continually. You and I look at that today. I'm suggesting to you and I that the world does not care if you and I go to hell. And when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, how did He describe the days of Noah? God described it in Genesis chapter number 6. And He talked about the imagination of the thought of their heart being evil continually. But now come with me to the New Testament, and you and I, look, how did Jesus describe the days of Noah? They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were buying and selling, and they were eating and drinking. Now, you and I look at that. As it was in the days of Noah, and you and I look at our world and our society today, what are we doing? Marrying and giving in marriage? You know what, isn't it kind of ironic that in our world, in the United States of America, and we have so many individuals who are pushing this concept of same-sex marriage, or that they are emphasizing the fact, well, everybody ought to have, it doesn't make any difference, you ought to support them. And you're, no, my friend, and listen, I'm not a hobby. Right? I know somebody said, well, Brother Acuff, every time we hear you preach, you're talking about homosexuality. I'm going to tell you why. Because we need to hear what the Bible says about it, and we need to make sure that we have the right attitude and that we have the right teaching regarding it, because that is the world in which we live. When you and I look at this, and this is the world. I'm trying to help you and I to understand that the world doesn't care if you go to hell. When you and I look at that, you remember about 5-6 years ago, there was a fellow who was an Episcopal bishop by the name of Robinson, and he divorced his wife, and then he marries, I don't know what he called him, a wife, or I don't know, but he marries a man. And the Episcopal Church had a split, a division over the fact that when he wanted to continue to be a bishop, and they took a vote and they decided that the Episcopal Church would accept the fact that he was a homosexual and that he was going to be in a same-sex marriage relationship, and they accepted that, and there was a split in the Episcopal Church, and there were some who would not accept it, and they started a new church and left the Episcopal Church and left this Robinson, Bishop Robinson. You know what he did last week? He's divorcing his husband, wife, whatever you call her. I have no idea. And I read an article in a paper and said, finally he's probably doing something he ought to do, and that's get rid of that. Well, that's not his attitude, I'm sure. But you see, the world doesn't care. See, all the world is saying, I want you to be happy, and I want you to accept the way I live. I want you to accept my immorality. I want you to look at it and accept me as being right, in spite of the fact that the Holy Bible says that it is an abomination unto the world, unto the Lord. The world wants us to go to hell. That is the devil. The devil wants us to go to hell. Psalm 142 and verse 4, David made this statement, no man careth for my soul. Do you and I, do men today care for our souls? Not only, my friend, does the world want you to go to hell, not only is the world not going to do anything, as a matter of fact, the world is going to pave the road to hell for you. Right, this may shock you a little bit, but the religious world wants you to go to hell. Well, somebody said, now, Brother Acuff, No, let me tell you why. Because the religious world is preaching a plan of salvation that will cause men to be lost eternally in hell. They preach faith-only doctrine. Oh, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And what's going to happen? There have been millions of individuals who have accepted the faith-only doctrine, and they have followed that doctrine to their grave and eventually to a hell of fire. Why? Somebody says, now, Brother Acuff, you ought to be saying things like that. Why not? The Bible teaches us that. A man is not saved by faith alone. They'll go to Acts chapter number 16, and we don't have time tonight to develop this, but you remember this, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? There are those who, again, who go to Acts chapter number 16, and we find the jailer as he falls at the feet of Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Saul will say, or Paul will say to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And they'll take that verse strictly out of context, and they'll say, "That's all you have to do in order to go to heaven. All you have to do is believe and be saved." And my friend, they'll say the sinner's prayer, and not a single bit of it will save their soul. They have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do we say? That the religious world does not care if you go to hell. I want to take it one step farther. Even some of our brethren don't care. Somebody said, "Brother Acuff, that's some more indictment." Yes, it is. What have they done? They have brought in false teaching and false doctrine. They have brought in instrumental music. They have also said the same thing. I have the quotes in my file. I have the quotes in my file in which they have said that you no longer need to be baptized in order to be saved. That baptism for remission of sin, you can be saved without being baptized. Denominationalists don't even believe that sometimes. You know what? I have in my file, up in Murray, Kentucky, there was an advertisement put in a newspaper in Murray, Kentucky, regarding the denominational church there. And here's what they said. They said, "We will not..." Now, they will accept folks from different religious bodies, but they said, "We will not accept individuals who have come from the Church of Christ who believe that baptism is essential to salvation. We won't accept them. You're going to have to renounce that doctrine." So what do we find? We find that men do not want to follow. Now, I said our brethren, because what has happened, there are some of our brethren now who are saying, "Well, instrumental music is not a salvation issue, so it doesn't matter." Can I preach till 10 tonight? Because I'm just on the introduction. I was talking with a lady here last summer sometime, and she was visiting a relative in our area. She's a member of the church out in Dallas, Texas. And we were having a conversation, and she said, "Well, the elders, where we go, they sent out a survey, and they said, we are considering using the instrument, and, you know, they said, now we have studied this extensively, and we have come to the conclusion that it is not a salvation issue." My friend, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter how many elders study it. It doesn't matter how many conclusions they come to. If they don't reach what the Bible says, they're wrong. And we need to let them know that. Now, that lady doesn't think a whole lot of me today. But I'm not in a popularity contest. I'd rather see individuals know what the truth is and go to heaven than to know what error is and be lost and go to hell. And these elders have made the... My friend, an elder has no authority above that which is in the Holy Word of God. I don't care how long he's been an elder. He has no authority in that. You and I look at the Bible. Now I'm not through. I'm not through with our brethren. I got a text from a good friend of mine in Michigan. And I was aware of the congregation he noted to me this week. I've been aware of that church for many years. And I have seen that church gradually. They have gradually gone from practicing New Testament Christianity to liberalism. And he sent me this. He said, "Larry, it's very sad." And he called the name of the congregation. He said, "The elders made the announcement last week that they will no longer have Sunday evening or Wednesday evening services."
Somebody said, "Well, I think it's optional anyhow." Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. In Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to them. They watch for your souls." The elders in the congregation have the right, they have the authority to have Sunday night and Wednesday night service, and they need to have it. These churches saying, "Well, and the reason being, well, folks just quit coming." Well, I'm going to tell you something. It may get down in the congregation at Lithia Springs where I preach. It may get down just Janet and me, but we're going to do it. We went Bar Harbor, Maine. I don't know if you've ever been to Bar Harbor, Maine. But that we couldn't find a Church of Christ anywhere in the area we could attend. We were there on Lord's Day. And I had searched before I went. So finally, I said, well, Janet, we'll just take some fruit of the vine of bread. Now, that is not ideal in my opinion. But we were going there, and I said, I want to find a group, so we'll just meet in the hotel if that's what we have to do. So we did, and I preached. She was the only one there. I preached on the wife submitting to the husband. I thought that's a good topic. Some men have stopped offering the invitation at the end of their sermons. I'm simply saying that we ask the question, if I go to hell, who cares? You know, when you and I look and we ask the question, does anybody care what's going on, number one, in life? Does anybody care what's going on in the body of Jesus Christ? In Winchester, Massachusetts, I forget it. It starts with a W, I know it's Massachusetts. A lady by the name of Adele Gabori. Adele Gabori, they found her body on a pile of trash in her kitchen with a telephone in her hand 4 years after she died. 4 years after she died. Didn't anybody care? You know, they began to find out, what took place here? 4 years after she died, what happened? Well, the next door neighbor thought that she had gone to a nursing home. Her own brother, apparently, one of the articles I read, and the way I understood that some way or another, he checked on her name, found someone with that name, assumed it was his sister, and that she was in a nursing home. He didn't look after her. The next door neighbor paid her son $10 every 2 weeks to cut her grass so that it wouldn't look bad because they thought she was gone. And finally, the postman put the mail in the slot. And finally, when it just got overfilled, he took it back to the post office and wrote on it, "Return to sender." And finally, one day, this young man who cut the grass noticed that that water was coming, this flowing out of the front door. And they called the water department. They called the water department when they went out there. Well, went out to her house, they found that her body, of course, decayed, laying on that trash pile in her kitchen and had been there for 4 years. Didn't anybody care? Does not anyone care? In Pontiac, Michigan, just a few months ago, they found a mummified body. A mummified body sitting in the car in the garage. Now, I've seen different years. Some of them say that was a 4 year, 5, 6 year. It doesn't make any difference. The point was, this lady, she had all of her bills paid out of her checking account. So all the bills for all these years, her bills were paid. She had it set up. They were paid out of her checking account. And so as long as the bills were paid, nobody checked. Nobody asked. And so all of a sudden now, the money in the checking account runs out. Her house payment is no longer being made. And the bank forecloses on the house and sends out a representative to the house to get it ready for sale, a foreclosure sale. And when he goes in the garage, he finds a mummified body. Does anybody care? Does anyone care? Does anyone care if you and I go to hell? Is there not some concern? You and I can go to the Old Testament, the book of 2 Samuel. I think one of the most touching stories out of the Bible is found in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verses 1 through 12. The Bible tells us about David. David was king, and David asked this question. He said, "Is there anyone left in the household of Saul that I can show respect to?" Now, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, "Is there anyone left
And so there was a family by the name of Ziba, Z-I-B-A, and come to find out, and he said, yes, there is a child of Jonathan by the name of Mephibosheth. And so David said, go get him, bring him in. And so when Mephibosheth came in for David, and he said, I am your servant, David said, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to do anything to you. He said, I am going to return to you all of the land of your granddaddy. All of the land. And Mephibosheth said, why? I am nothing but a dog. I think about my friend. I think about the love of God, the love of Jesus. I think about the message of the Bible. And are we not all considered dogs as far as sin is concerned? And Mephibosheth said, why would you do this? He said, I want to pay honor. You would have thought that David said, kill him. His granddaddy chased me all over the country, tried to kill me. And he said, Mephibosheth, from now on, he said, I'm going to give you all... He was lame. He couldn't work the land. And David said, he told Ziba, he said, you and your men, he had 15 sons and 20 servants. And he said, you are going to take care of this land and you're going to give the proceeds of it to Mephibosheth. But he said, Mephibosheth, from now on out, you will eat at the king's table. He cared. He cared. Now then, I've laid that foundation. Does anyone care if you go to hell? I'm suggesting to you tonight, the answer to that is most definitely yes. First of all, you and I know that God cares. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He grew up before him as a tender plant. And he said, there is no form nor comeliness that you would desire him. And he goes on to say that in verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. That God is saying, Isaiah is prophesying that God allowed his son to be slaughtered. He allowed his son to be bruised in order that men can be saved from their sins. Does anyone care? God cares. In John 3 and verse 16, a verse that everyone in this assembly tonight, I'm sure, can quote from memory. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave the greatest thing He had, and that was His Son. The divine Son of God came to this earth, and so God cares. He cares so much. He said, I'm going to give you the greatest thing I have. If you and I go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, you remember when the devil tempted Eve and she ate of the fruit? Thou shalt not surely die. And you know they ate of the fruit and their eyes were open, discovered they were naked, and they hid. Now listen to this. The Bible says God's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I think one of the most dynamic phrases of the Bible is, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you? Where art thou? Oh, God knew where he was. You know that. But could not God have just said, well, let that while. Adam's gone off over here. What did God do? God pursued him. God pursued him. Adam, where art thou? God took the effort to pursue the son, that the man that He had made and the woman that He had made. He didn't just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to let him die and go to hell. I told him that if you eat of that fruit, you're going to die and I'm going to just let it go. You're going to have to suffer the consequences. He didn't do that. Come with me to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 3. The Bible says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward our Father which is in heaven. What? When once what? The long suffering of God. What did he do? Noah preached for 120 years. My friend, listen to this. God could have destroyed man and saved Noah other than the ark. He could have, I'm just going to destroy man, get rid of him. But Noah was, the Bible says, a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Why? Because God didn't want man to go to hell. God doesn't want that. Not only that, but Jesus Christ doesn't want you and I to go to hell. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. If you have a Bible, I can quote this for you, but I won't read it. When you and I look at the Bible, I want you to see this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 2. And I want you to go down to verse number 6. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, if you and I examine that passage of Scripture, what do we know? We know that Jesus existed in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So in Philippians 2, in verse number 6, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But watch this. But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, the Bible says He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I've used this illustration, I don't know where the phrase came from, but a blue million times. I was at Alabama Christian College, now Faulkner University, when it was, I mean, there wasn't anything there. I mean, we had these old block buildings. And when you got these block buildings, I mean, the floors, we had a bathroom on each floor. In the boys' dormitory, there was a bathroom on each floor. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I went down to the bathroom at night, I would go down there, and before I would go into the men's bathroom down there, the bathroom and the shower room over there, before I would go in, I would reach around and flip the switch on before I'd walk in there. Somebody said, you're afraid? Yes, I was. There were cockroaches in there. We called them pack horses. I mean, they were huge. I mean, you know, and I want to get that light on, give them time to get out of my way, because I'm coming through. Now, I'm going to tell you, we don't like a roach, do we? I don't know about you, but I've never seen a roach yet that I won't invite to dinner. You know, they'll come and show up, but they're not invited. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Now, this is crude illustration. But if you can imagine Jesus Christ in the form, thinking it not equal, or thinking it not robbery to be equal with God, that if you want to make a comparison, man, lowly man in his sin, would be like a cockroach to you and I. And Jesus said, He humbled Himself, Philippians said, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the death of the cross because He doesn't want you or I to go to hell. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sin. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go to hell. You and I know from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and then it is revealed to us all Scripture given by inspiration of God. Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren, and he said, when you read, you'll understand the mystery. The Holy Spirit has revealed in this book tonight what you and I need to do to be saved. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't want you nor I to go to hell. The Holy Spirit has told us of the great joy and the beauty of heaven. The Holy Spirit has revealed unto us the plan of salvation, to hear the Word of God, to believe it with all of our heart, to repent of our sins, to confess Christ before men, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. The Holy Spirit has said, here's what you need to do in order to be saved. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Number four, people in hell don't want you to go to hell. How do I know? Well, Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. What did he say? I've got five brethren, that he may testify unto them, as they come to this place of torment. Don't fool yourself, my friend. Have you ever, you know, haven't you felt this way? You know, I mean, man, all of us who are faithful children of God, hopefully, if we were honest, there are times when you and I, and we shouldn't think this way. I'm not condoning this kind of thinking. But don't we really sometimes think, man, if God would just do something, this man, this woman, this individual, they need to obey the gospel. If God would just do something, we think that way sometimes. But you know what? Abraham said, they've got Moses and the prophets. Oh, but if a miracle were performed, no. Let me tell you something. You could bring somebody out here and raise everybody out here in that cemetery. And I'll promise you, if you had a service on Sunday night, they'd button their coat and leave and not come back. Because a miracle's not going to move them. I had a lady call me. She said, Brother Acuff, I need some help. I need some Pampers for my babies. We need some diapers. Can you help me? I said, tell you what you do. You come to the church building Sunday night and there'll be somebody there to help you. Well, I ain't going to be able to come tonight. Why? Well, I don't want to. No, she didn't say that. But you know what? I want what you've got, but I'm not going to come to the services in order to get it. That just goes right along with what Abraham said to the rich man in Luke chapter 16. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The angels in heaven, number five. The angels in heaven do not want you and I to go to hell. Read Luke 15. The Bible says, tells us there about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boy. And the Bible says that the angels of heaven rejoice. In just a few minutes, we're going to stand and sing this beautiful song about the fountain. Oh, what a precious fountain it is. Revelation 21, 6 and Revelation 22, 17. And you just think about this. Have you ever been somewhere? Have you ever tried to see something and you try to get just as close to and maybe on the edge of something, maybe at the Grand Canyon or somewhere else, and you see something and you're trying to get to the edge in order to see it? Have you ever considered the fact that tonight the angels in heaven are on the edge, looking over, waiting on those who need to repent and those who need to be baptized? The church don't want you to go to hell. The Great Commission by the body of Jesus Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Tonight, will you believe, repent, confess, and be baptized? Maybe you haven't served the Lord faithfully. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the cause of Jesus Christ. If you do, will you come right now?